Well, the full-blown war with Iran is back on, worse than ever, largest escalation yet. Trump has, of course, completely lost his mind, claiming now that the U.S. is going to be the guardian of the Strait of Hormuz, and that we, America, we are going to charge a toll now. Even though before this, Trump said nobody can charge a toll, and Marco Rubio said, no, it's international waters, tolls are illegal. Trump says now, we're going to charge a toll of 20% of all the cargo that moves through the Strait of Hormuz, and we're going to be the toll collectors somehow. So the bombings have begun again, and also Iran is striking back. Iran has hit numerous U.S. targets, military bases around the region, such as Bahrain, where reportedly a HIMARS artillery system has been struck. It's interesting that that's even positioned there. Seems to indicate that Trump is gearing up for an eventual land invasion of Iran, which will go horribly bad. That it will be the most catastrophic military mistake probably in the history of our country. Maybe right up there in the history of the world. You know, it might be a contender for that. But the war is back on. The strait is closed. Ships that are trying to move through are getting hit, struck, set on fire, explosions, drones, all of that. And the U.S. is bombing multiple targets in Iran right now. And then Trump says that the Iranians are impossible to deal with, that they don't keep their word, when in fact the MOU clearly said that Iran had control over the Strait of Hormuz. Trump signed it, and then Trump violated it. And then blames Iran, of course, because Trump is incapable of honoring any agreement whatsoever, or practically even understanding the concept of agreement. Trump just does whatever he wants, makes it up as he goes, which we're seeing now from the fact that they're trying to collect 20% on all cargo that moves through the Strait of Hormuz. Yeah, going to be hard to collect 20% from sunken ships, Trump. That's going to be difficult. Now, it wasn't that long ago that Marco Rubio said that no one should be allowed to charge tolls. And I want to play this for you. This is a little clip here so you can hear him say it in his own words. Check this out.
Can they guarantee navigation, freedom of navigation in the state?
Well, that's the law. It's an international waterway. No country is allowed to charge tolls or fees on an international waterway. That's existing international law. That's the way it is in international waterways all over the world. And that's the way we expect it'll be here. So I don't think we have anybody to convince around here in that regard. I think all the countries in this region would agree with us.
So there's Secretary of State Marco Rubio saying that it's against the law to charge tolls on so-called international waterways. And of course, he claims that the Strait of Hormuz is an international waterway. And then Trump turns around and says, well, we'll charge tolls since it's illegal. You know, hey, why not have America do it? Because practically everything the U.S. does internationally is in violation of international law. So why isn't Marco Rubio, you know, chiding the president on this and say, you can't do that. It's a violation of international law. The answer is because when we do it, America, when we do it, doesn't matter if it's illegal. It's just the law of coercion and brute force. That's the honest answer. And that's what apparently is going to be attempted. However, it will, of course, fail. And it's going to fail catastrophically. Remember, we are now 4 weeks after Trump said that the world would run out of oil in 4 weeks. So here we are. Now, Trump was simplifying. We haven't run out of oil, but we're on track to do so. And when I say run out of oil, what it means is the buffer that we are drawing down, the Strategic Petroleum Reserve, for example, and China is tapping into its own SPR. And all over the world, countries are, you know, about to hit tank bottoms on whatever buffer they had. It's running out. And from here forward, as you can see with the so-called crack spreads, and no, that's not a reference to the personal entertainment habits of Hunter Biden. Crack spreads are, it talks about the price difference between raw oil versus the higher price of the refined products like diesel and jet fuel that come from that oil. And crack spreads have never been higher, at least not in decades. They are the highest that any of us can remember seeing. Perhaps maybe back in 73, they were higher. I don't recall, but I don't think we've seen anything like this since then. So, of course, Trump is completely delusional at this point, or he actually wants to destroy the U.S. economy, because that's where this is headed. It's going to be catastrophic for the U.S. And adding to that, China has just halted all exports of helium. Now, remember that there's a great global helium shortage because, well, we're not getting helium out of the Persian Gulf. Helium is a byproduct of harvesting natural gas from the gas fields, you know, like the South Pars field. At least that's what Iran calls it. So Qatar exports a lot of helium. Helium is necessary for microchip production. Helium is necessary for laboratory analysis. My lab uses a lot of helium. I told you the story. We bought a year's supply of helium in early March because I saw this coming. Helium is used as a special gas in the collision cells inside mass spectrometry equipment. And so the helium is, well, basically gives you a better signal-to-noise ratio, and it knocks out other heavier molecules like O2, for example, that could interfere with your analysis using, you know, M over Z or mass over charge ratios, which is how mass spectrometry works. Anyway, without the helium, you can't run the instrument. In fact, without helium, the instrument will refuse to run. So there goes all the labs, you know, the mass spec labs anyway. No helium, no labs, and also no helium, no microchip production for a similar reason, because you have to have ultra pure air and ultra pure environment for etching the microchips at nanometer scale precision. So that's what helium is used for there. In case you haven't checked the table of elements recently, helium is very tiny. It's very close to the top of the table. In fact, it's in the first row. The only thing smaller is, well, hydrogen. So just as at the same time the U.S. economy is running on basically AI bubble fumes, which depends on microchip fabrication, which depends on helium, Trump is screwing the world's helium supply chain. Well, he's destroying it. And then, of course, China is preserving its own helium for its domestic microchip fabrication, such as Huawei chips and other companies, meaning that, you know, China will have enough helium for itself. The U.S. will not, because we don't produce hardly any helium in the United States. There's some, not much, not enough. So anyway, Trump now says that the United States is going to become the guardian of the Strait of Hormuz, as if we are the angels in this war. We're the good guys who are going to just protect everybody. Even though Trump started the war, Trump bombed and killed the negotiators, Trump assassinated Iran's leaders, Trump has bombed civilian targets such as bridges, etc. But we're the angels, apparently. We're the guardians. And apparently, Trump is also asserting in his delusional mind the idea that the United States, which is halfway around the world, has some God-given right to the geography right off the coast of Iran. The Strait of Hormuz. Apparently, it's ours. We are the chosen ones, Trump seems to be saying. Very Netanyahu-like, if you think about it. We are the chosen ones. And we, Americans, we get to bomb and kill and destroy everybody and everything because we have a natural God-given right to anything we want to take, any kind of pillaging, any kind of piracy, any kind of theft, anything. We just take it. We bomb and take it. That's Trump. And that's the neocon philosophy of the American empire. And this is the last lurching gastric belch of the American Empire with this attitude, by the way, because after this, it's pretty much over for the American Empire, as it will be defeated by Iran. Actually, it's already been defeated by Iran more than once. Trump claims that he defeated Iran something like 40-something times, I believe. But if that's true, then why is Trump complaining that Iran is still bombing and destroying U.S. military targets in places like Bahrain? Well, clearly, Trump has not defeated Iran. Trump has also claimed numerous times that Iran is begging to make a deal. This is all imaginary. This is in Trump's head. Or it's being told to him by his delusional advisors. In fact, believe it or not, CNN has put together a compilation of Trump repeatedly claiming that Iran wants to make a deal. So this clip is 41 seconds. Check this out.
They want to make a deal.
And they want to make a deal so badly.
They want to make a deal so badly.
I do see a deal in Iran.
It's looking very good that we're going to make a deal.
This process should go very quickly.
We're going to end that war very quickly.
We're in the final throes of what will be a very, very good deal.
And they want to make the deal a lot more than I do.
We have our deal done with Iran, and it should be successful.
We're making an amazing deal with Iran.
They want to make a deal with us very badly.
They're dying to make a deal. They're giving us a lot.
They want to make a deal so badly.
Jonah Goldberg.
So there you go. Trump, of course, that's all projection. Trump wants to make a deal very badly because Trump can't find a way to defeat Iran. And now we're back to just trying the same old thing again. Let's bomb them some more. And, you know, what do they say the definition of insanity is? Doing the same thing over and over again, expecting a different result? That's Trump. Completely, utterly insane. And delusional and incompetent and, you know, a lot of other descriptors go along with that. But Trump thinks we can bomb the geography out of Iran somehow, which will not work. And so what is Trump actually achieving in this? He is achieving economic destruction for the world. He is achieving a delay in fertilizer exports. He is achieving a worsening shortage of oil and natural gas and sulfuric acid and helium, as we said, and all these other things. So Trump he's not really waging a war against Iran. Trump is at war with humanity. Trump is at war with the world. Trump is making the entire world suffer. And yes, the United States will suffer badly as this situation continues to get worse. And Trump cares nothing about the American people. That's obvious. He keeps doing this probably at the behest of Netanyahu, who is his master. And Trump is the little war bitch who does whatever Netanyahu tells him to do, regardless of the ramifications on the American people. So the president that promised to end wars, and the president that mocked Joe Biden for being involved in wars, and mocked Barack Obama for messing around in the Middle East, Trump has now outperformed all of them by far with his own wars and his own quagmire that continues to get worse. And by the way, where are the apologies from all the people who said this is going to be over in 30 days? Remember that? Well, actually, initially it was, oh, this is going to be over in one weekend. And then before long, it became, well, it might last 2 weeks. And then it's going to be 30 days. Remember that? And of course, I told you this whole time, I said, it's going to get worse. And in fact, Michael Yan, what are his three predictions about war that are always true? Number one, wars last longer than you think. Number two, wars always grow. And number three, wars grow in unpredictable ways. And I remember Michael saying, if you just say those three things about every war, you will be seen as a genius. And he's right, because you'll always be right with those predictions. Wars last longer than you think. And here we are what are we, like 5 months into this now? And remember when I said if this goes on beyond 90 days, then the ramifications for the world become very dire and very real. And now that's baked in. It cannot be reversed. The ramifications are coming like an incoming avalanche or a tidal wave or whatever metaphor you want to use. But later this year in America, food prices are going to skyrocket. Diesel prices are going to go much higher, and diesel scarcity will get bad. We may see diesel rationing. Jet fuel scarcity is going to get a lot worse. And the prices on everything, everything that's delivered by truck, which is almost everything, your local hardware store, your groceries, your clothing, you know, home building supplies, whatever, it's all going to go up, up, up in price, while Trump will claim there's no inflation and prices are falling, because he's, of course, completely disconnected from reality. That's one of the side effects of being utterly delusional, probably mentally ill at this point. So I hope that the American people are ready. I know that you're ready listening to this, or at least you're well prepared compared to most. But I don't think the American people are ready for what this is. I don't think they're ready at all. Actually, I think they're, well, especially those who believe Trump, you know, the Fox News watchers or whatever, they believe Trump. They think we're winning, and they think this is going to be over in another week, and they think that, I don't know, like, they haven't felt the scarcity of diesel fuel yet, so they think it will never happen. And for whatever reason, they still have trust in Trump, even though Trump lies to them constantly about everything. Those people are screwed, like really screwed beyond salvageability. I feel sorry for them because they're going to lose everything as, you know, the economic contraction gets worse. And ultimately, we're going to end up probably with civil chaos and revolts and whatever, marches in the streets. And then Trump will respond with declarations of you know, national emergencies and maybe something resembling martial law or curfews or things like that. That's where this is headed. It's going to take time to get there. I'm not saying all that's going to happen this year, but over the rest of Trump's term, it seems like that's the track we're on. The people who are smart are, of course, well prepared. They're ready to survive off-grid. I've talked about this numerous times. You've got backup food supplies. You've got backup, you know, fuel. Stored some diesel if you use diesel. You've got energy. Maybe you're doing off-grid solar now. Maybe you've got, you know, satellite phones for backup communications or domestic radios or something like that. You know, something that's off the grid. You're prepared to survive without electricity, to survive without municipal water. Maybe you're doing some rainwater catchment with a gravity water filter or something like that. All those things that you're doing are going to be extremely important from here forward. That's clear. Abundantly clear. Because the real factor here that's about to kick in is when the Houthis close off the Bab el-Mandeb Strait, as it appears they are threatening to do. And I think Saudi Arabia actually launched some bombs or some drones at Yemen. And Yemen, I think, then hit some targets in Saudi Arabia. But the real issue is going to be the closure of the Bab el-Mandeb, which is the choke point of the Red Sea leading to the Suez Canal. If the Suez Canal is closed, then world trade face plants on the concrete with like teeth breaking out and everything. Like, you're going to need a dentist after that face plant, you know. It's going to be bad for the world economy. I mean, just look at how much damage is happening from the closure of simply the Strait of Hormuz. Well, I say simply, but something like 20% of the world's oil supply flows through there. Or if you consider the oil that's for sale around the world, it's about 40 to 50% of that oil. And yet, as bad as that sounds, that's nothing compared to what happens if you also effectively close the Suez Canal. And they can do it. The Houthis can do it. And seemingly, there's nothing the United States can do to stop it. Because, you know, the U.S. has tried to bomb the Houthis before, in Yemen. And what happened? The U.S. lost some aircraft. F-18 Hornets, I believe, that we were told. They rolled off the edge of the aircraft carrier and fell into the oceans, and they sank. Yeah, if you believe that, you know, somebody's got a bridge to sell you. No, they were shot down, okay? They were shot down by the Houthis, who have surface-to-air missile systems. You know, little man pads or whatever. Then they shot down some F-18s. So we're always told these crazy excuses from the U.S. military. It's all completely, totally made up fiction from, you know, CENTCOM. Everything's fiction from CENTCOM. Oh, no, the USS Ford, it wasn't hit by a drone. There was a laundry room fire that just burned up the entire back end of the ship. A laundry room fire. Yeah, really? Okay. All right. And then other ships is always, there somebody left the lights on, you know. There was an electrical fire. No, you guys, you've been getting hit. You've been taking some hits. There's been explosions and stuff and fires. You're taking hits. That's why the aircraft carriers normally are kept very far away. But recently, a couple of them, I think, including the Abraham Lincoln, are sailing much closer to the strait, almost as bait, to try to see if Iran will sink one of them, you know. So the U.S. could justify escalating possibly to the use of nuclear weapons or something like that. So far, Iran hasn't taken the bait. But those aircraft carriers are sitting ducks out there right now, sailing that close to the shoreline of Iran. So Trump is going to be the president that goes down in history as the president who destroyed the remaining credibility of the United States Navy, and possibly, depending on if the land invasion is staged, also destroying the credibility of the Marines and the Army and probably the Air Force. I mean, it's going to be all the branches, frankly. Not the Coast Guard. Coast Guard has nothing to do with it, but everybody else is going to be looking like a bunch of fools when Trump orders the invasion of Iran. They say they're going to take, you know, Karg Island, for example. Yeah, good luck with that. How's that going to work? How are you going to resupply? How are you going to have the landing craft make it in there? How are you going to dodge the artillery? Because Iran is right there. How are you going to supply a war halfway around the world forever while you collect tolls? And by the way, how are you going to collect tolls from ships when they're on fire? Huh? Are you going to collect tolls between the drone strikes as Iran is hitting the ships that are trying to sail through without Iran's permission? Is that how that's going to work? Because it sure seems insane. I put out a post that summarizes all of this. I'll read it for you as we wrap up this report. Thanks to Trump's insane war escalation with Iran, the American people are now more universally effed than they can possibly imagine. The global implications on energy, microchip fabrication, fertilizer, agriculture, supply chains, ground transportation, air transport, and spare parts are so dire as to be obscene. Almost no one in the West understands this. They think diesel fuel comes from magical fairies and that grocery store shelves are restocked in the early morning hours by Santa's elves. Those who fail to understand how the world works are about to be decimated by the world's infrastructure failing to work as we all once knew. Wise people are preparing with the assumption that a decade of war and despair is coming. Frivolous, silly people are cheering the delusional president whose actions are making that scenario increasingly likely by the day. If you are cheering for more war, don't complain when the ramifications of that war leave you with food scarcity, fuel rationing, no spare parts, and a collapsing economy. That's my take on things. If this war continues, Trump's domestic economy will have a far worse case of rigor mortis than Lindsey Graham. So, what can I say, folks? Get prepared, as hopefully you are doing. And whatever your current level of preparedness, number one, hold on to everything you have, including gold and silver, even though prices continue to be volatile. Gold, I think, went below $4,000 an ounce. I don't think it's going to stay there for long, by the way, but whatever it does, hold on to it. You're probably going to need it. Hold on to your food supplies. Hold on to your backup comms. You know, our sponsor, the Satellite Phone Store, sat123.com. If you don't have a satellite phone, you might want to consider one, because they will work when the power grid goes down and the comms system fails, you know, the terrestrial comms with the cell towers. Satellite phones will still work, and they have better privacy, too. What else? Well, you know, garden seeds, natural medicine, backup medicine, first aid supplies, all kinds of things. It's a good idea to get these things now while you can, because the situation is probably going to get a lot worse. I mean, you know, it's funny because we dodged a lot of bullets together over the last few years. I mean, COVID was horrific with all the lockdowns and the concentration camps and all the mass deaths in the hospitals. And I mean, not everybody got out of that one alive, did they? Right. But we dodged some bullets in the meantime. We dodged some sort of election era, you know, revolution threats or uprisings or civil war or things like that. Fortunately, none of those things happened recently. That's, you know, thank goodness. But this current global bullet is not one that we can dodge, because the economic impacts are so widespread and they affect everything that you live on. You know, they affect, well, the power grid, they affect the food supply, they affect transportation, they affect the dollar, they affect the debt markets. And at the same time, you know, Japan is suffering quite a catastrophic rise in the yen and a rise in the yields on its 10-year debt instruments. Things are, you know, this is like a perfect storm of bad things arriving together. And I get the feeling that we're not going to be able to dodge this bullet. This is going to impact us all. And so those who are prepared will do relatively well, and those who are not are going to have a very, very difficult time. If Trump had been wise, if he was a smart president, he would have never started the war, and the Strait of Hormuz would be open, and the fertilizer would be flowing, and the oil and the gas and the helium and the sulfuric acid and the polyethylene and everything else would have been flowing with no tolls. And now, apparently, Marco Rubio keeps saying our goal is to get back to the way it was before we started the war, although he doesn't say it that way. He just wants to get back to the Strait of Hormuz flowing again without tolls. But then Trump is like, no, we want to charge the tolls. I still can't get past that one. That's really something. We want to charge the tolls. Let me assure you, the situation is never going back to the way it was before February 28th of 2026. It's never going back to that. The throughput of ships through the Strait of Hormuz will never be restored to what it was, you know, 120 commercial ships a day. That's not going to happen. This is a permanent change in the structure of the world. And Iran will never let go of control of the Strait of Hormuz, no matter how many bombs you drop on Iran. I mean, let me just give you an example. Recently, Iran had the funeral for the Ayatollah, right? The Ayatollah Khamenei that Trump had killed, because, you know, Trump, that's what Trump does. He kills other leaders. And how many people turned out for that funeral? 10 to 15 million people, or I mean, those are the numbers that I heard. It's being described as the largest funeral known in the history of the world, in any country, for any leader in the history of the world. Okay. Millions upon millions upon millions of people. None of them forced to attend it at gunpoint. It's not North Korea. People showed up on purpose, voluntarily, to pay respects to their leader, who frankly was a person who had more morals than Donald Trump. This is just no question, no comparison. Then in the United States, Lindsey Graham dies. And I saw a photo today, like somebody had placed like one bouquet of flowers at his Washington, D.C. address, I think it was. And they put a little bowl of flowers for him in on the Senate floor at his desk. So when the Ayatollah is killed, 10 to 15 million people show up. when the warmongering neocon Senator Lindsey Graham, also known as Lady G, for those of you who know what that's all about, he gets what, like a couple of people? Because nobody likes him. He is not revered. He is not honored. What he stands for, the neocon warmongering American empire, what he stands for is extremely unpopular. Nobody loves it. Nobody pays respects. In fact, Senator Lindsey Graham's death was largely, predominantly, celebrated all over the world by rational people who were pointing out all of his evil deeds and how many people that he got killed and his lust for nuking civilian populations and so on. So, I mean, think about that contrast there. A leader in Iran is killed, largest funeral in the history of the world. A leader in America is killed, nobody shows up, everybody hates him. See, it the story writes itself. You see, the commentary is almost self-evident. And I just have one remaining question here, and I'll wrap this up. What is Trump's plan to reopen the Strait of Hormuz and get ships safely sailing through on a steady basis? You know, I've said before, I want to see 100 ships sailing through the Strait for 100 consecutive days. That would be a start. What gets us to that goal in Trump's current plan? And the answer is nothing. There's nothing in Trump's plan that gets us to that goal. Even Trump saying, oh, we're going to take over the Strait. We're going to charge a toll. We're going to charge 20%. I mean, I hate to quote a cliche, but you and what army? Because the U.S. Army can't do it. The U.S. Navy can't do it. You know, you and what army? What are you going to do? You're going to show up there and just say, everybody pay us 20%? And then what, you think Iran is just going to sit on the sidelines and say, okay, do whatever you want with our waterway? No, Iran, all they have to do is harass a couple of ships every couple of days, and it's closed again. The insurance companies won't insure the vessels if they're getting hit by bottle rockets, you know? All Iran needs is some fireworks, Roman candles launched off the islands towards the ships. Oh, the insurance is canceled because those ships are flammable, like floating bombs of explosive materials. You can't even light firecrackers in the Strait if you want it to be safe. So I don't know how Trump thinks that he's going to conquer all of Iran. You and what army? What troops are going to go in there and occupy Persia? You know, that's been tried before in history. Never really worked very well, not for very long anyway. And mostly the would-be conquerors, you know, got their heads handed to them. Didn't work out. And it's going to be the same here. Why? Because you can't fight geography. You can't bomb away the Strait of Hormuz. And you can't wish away mountains. You know? you can drop all the bombs you want on the surface of all the granite mountains in Iran. Doesn't change the equation. Iran can stop the Strait of Hormuz anytime it wants. And unless you think you're going to go through and conquer the entire nation and root out every last Iranian, which would be, you know, Vietnam times 100, quagmire, it's impossible. Unless you think you're going to do that, you're not going to control the Strait of Hormuz, period. Won't happen. I mean, it would be as crazy as Iran claiming we're going to control the Gulf of Mexico, which Trump calls the Gulf of America. Yeah, right. I mean, how? You and what army? How are you gonna control the geography near the United States like that? It's impossible. And of course, the Gulf of Mexico is not a strait; it's a gulf, hence the name. But the a strait is far easier to control, and it has such a tiny little choke point there, a little strangulation point for the whole world goes through just the northern curve portion of the strait where that just plunges ships right into Iran's control with overlooking island mountains that have the literal high ground overlooking the strait. And it, at its most narrow point, the strait is only, what, like a little over 20 kilometers wide. That's nothing in terms of range for, you know, shore-based rockets, drones, missiles, you know. Even pickup truck-launched drones. I mean, you can buy drones on Amazon that have that much range, okay? Just saying. Or DJI drones from China, they'll go 20, 30 kilometers. You don't even need special military drones. You just buy off-the-shelf drones. Dirt cheap. They'll fly 20, 30 kilometers. You know, Trump being at war with the geography of Earth reminds me of an old urban legend involving a naval vessel. And I want to be clear, this is an urban legend. It's a joke. It's not real, but it's funny, and it's actually instructive in this context. So I'll wrap it up with this. Here, this is just one of the ways that this is told. The following is a transcript of a radio conversation of a U.S. naval ship with Canadian authorities. But by the way, you can interchange Canada with U.S., whatever. It's a universal joke. Off the coast of Newfoundland in October 1995, radio conversation released by the Chief of Naval Operations. The Americans broadcast, please divert your course 15 degrees to the north to avoid a collision. The Canadians reply, recommend you divert your course 15 degrees to the south to avoid a collision. Then the Americans reply, this is the captain of a U.S. Navy ship. I say again, divert your course. The Canadians reply, no, I say again, you divert your course. And then the Americans broadcast says, this is the aircraft carrier USS Lincoln, the second largest ship in the United States Atlantic Fleet. We're accompanied by three destroyers, three cruisers, and numerous support vessels. I demand that you change your course 15 degrees north. That's 15 degrees north, or countermeasures will be undertaken to ensure the safety of this ship. And then the Canadians reply, this is a lighthouse. Your call. So there you go. That's just like Trump at war with the geography of the Strait of Hormuz. It's like, we're going to bomb you. You know, we are an island. We are a massive island. You know, your choice. Go for it. How much ordnance did you bring? Yeah, we're going to bomb you. We are an ocean strait. Good luck. I don't think you can, you know, I don't think you can bomb away geography, but you'll probably try, you know? Yeah. Can you imagine Trump just screaming at a lighthouse like, you move, we had a deal, you know? I can see that. And then Trump would tell everybody, the lighthouse, they're begging to make a deal. They want a deal so bad. And then a day later, you know, after the markets closed, Trump like, they went back on their deal. they said they were going to move. They didn't move. There's a bunch of horrible people at the lighthouse. They refused to honor their deal. They're incapable of making deals. You know, meanwhile, it's just Trump shouting at a lighthouse, you know. There you go. So I want to be clear that joke, that's not real. That didn't actually happen. But it's still a funny illustration. Because the, you know, Trump's war with Iran, or the war with geography, is happening, and it's just as stupid. Just as stupid. So, there you go. All right, well, pray for peace, as always, but prepare for war, because war is what we're getting. And it's going to go on for a long, long time here, okay? Just like I've told you in March, this is nowhere near over. In fact, this is going to continue through the rest of this year and into 2027. Have no illusions about that. Probably after the midterms, Trump will stage an attempted invasion of Iran. And he'll use the time between now and then try to build up personnel. The invasion is going to go horribly bad. Probably thousands of U.S. soldiers will come home in body bags if they can even find the bodies. It's going to get bad, but that's where this is headed. And every time Trump says there's a peace deal, he's lying. He's just constantly lying. Every time he says, oh, we've defeated Iran, he's also lying. He's talking to, you know, voices in his head or something. He's just completely delusional at this point. You know, needs to be removed. 25th Amendment. We need somebody in there that's dealing with reality, and clearly that's not Trump. All right, you can follow my work at brightvideos.com and also my articles at naturalnews.com. Thank you for listening. Again, pray for peace. Take care.
Stock up on the long-term storable Ranger Bucket Set. 536 servings of clean organic superfoods for your survival pantry. Certified organic and lab-tested for purity. Order now at healthrangerstore.com.